morning. Today is Thursday, August the 27th. Whoa. 248th day of the new year. Joining us this morning from the California Highway Patrol Swamp Office, Cy May. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you doing, Brian?
Okay.
You all right there? Got a little tickle?
I don't think I'm particularly sensitive to smoke in the air, but I've been doing a little bit of coughing in the last little bit. Have you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, we did some help with the road closures out there with the fires, and so we all got exposed to it a little bit. And then depending on which way the wind's going, we can get a little bit of it over here.
Yeah. Our quote this morning comes from Tennessee Williams. Make voyages. Attempt them. There's nothing else.
That's it. End of story.
Yeah. Do it, man. Do it.
That's it.
What is the, with the 36 being off on, open, closed, 199 certainly is having its challenges also. 101 hasn't yet. 299, I guess Weaverville now, Oregon Mountains, or areas around Oregon Mountain are now engaged. What does that do to you guys? Because all of these are the main drags, and you don't think that a highway is going to be closed for a prolonged period of time. I mean, this is worse than a paving project.
Yeah, and you never know when it's going to end. You know, it one, makes things busier for us in an aspect, and two, slows things down. Because it's going to slow down traffic coming in and out of the area. But also, we're helping out with a lot of the road closures. We're helping out doing evacuations with the fire personnel. They're pulling us over from Humboldt County. We were doing some of the closures on 36. We were going out to Hayfork and working hand-in-hand with all the different agencies over there. Closing roads, detouring people, helping with some of the vandalism and burglary that was going on in the fire camps.
There was some opportunistic poaching going on.
There are some people taking a little advantage of the situation, and we were over there to assist and try to alleviate some of that stuff.
You shoot anybody?
Luckily, no, we did not.
I'm sorry.
Maybe somebody, with a squirt gun.
Somebody's going into a camp, a firefighter's area, yeah, and trying to, no.
Yeah.
You've now crossed that line, and
the firefighters are there to help, but you know what? Some people just don't care.
Well, and you wouldn't think that those would be the areas that would be subject to it.
You wouldn't think so, but you know, they see an opportunity to strike, an opportunity to get something, and they're going to try to take it.
Were they the locals?
You know what? I think some of them were locals. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I didn't deal with that personally. There were some other officers who were handling that stuff, but yeah, I believe it was some of the locals out there.
Now, I heard also that some of the fire guys and gals are being confronted by some of the growers. Are you hearing those stories also?
Yes. Yeah, out there in our area of Southern Trinity, I know that there were a few areas that the fire personnel were told, be careful if you got to go in there. If you're going to go in there, have law enforcement personnel with you. And yeah, they ran into some problems out there.
Do you guys have training as escort service?
Yeah, you know what? We do have training in regards to getting in and out of areas that may be under fire or any sort of natural disaster. And, you know, the firefighters, they'll tell us, hey, this is a hard closure or a soft closure, whether or not to not let anybody in or out. And so we definitely have experience dealing with that sort of thing.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to talk shop this morning with Cy May from the California Highway Patrol. Cy, school season is always an exciting time for families your age, families my age. It's more like, okay, we got to start paying attention again. You know, our life cycle isn't being disrupted.
Right.
It's just there's more traffic on the roads again. Fred was on, Van Fleck was on last week, and it indicated that they're going to be putting in, you've got a deal with you guys and with the county that for the Eureka City schools in the county jurisdiction, 15 is going to be the speed limit.
That's it.
That's kind of an interesting thing because nobody's going to dart out. If you're paying attention, you got time to stop.
That's it, if you're paying attention. 15 miles an hour, it's going to drop it from 25 down to 15 in certain designated schools. I believe that there's 10 right now that meet the criteria. We put up a 25 mile an hour, people will push a little bit to 30, you know, this and that. So dropping it down to 15 will hopefully bring it down to a reasonable level. And it's all about the safety of the kids, really. A lot of kids out there walking to school, walking in and out of traffic. And I know everybody's life is busy. You got to get your kids to school and get off to work. But it's just to help slow things down a little bit and try to keep everybody safe.
Is enforcement in school zones tough to do?
It's tough sometimes if we're spread thin, to focus on them as much as we would like. But as far as tough, not really. You get out there, you make a presence, and really just seeing the black and white car out there is usually a pretty big deterrent for most people. Yeah, it reminds them, hey, we better slow down a little bit.
So you're straddling the center divided line doesn't really have much influence at all?
No, yeah, not too much on that one. It's good. You know, during the first 2 weeks of school, we're going to try to really focus on getting maximum enforcement out there. Just to remind people, slow down a little bit. We're here. School started. Everybody's excited to get back. And there's usually a huge influx of traffic for the first 2 weeks for whatever reason. After that, things kind of die down, it seems like, which we try to focus on schools as much as possible. But really, the first block of the school year, we're going to really be out there.
Yeah, does that take from the safety zone?
It does not. It does not. We are we're going to put additional units out there. Yeah, exactly.
No, by God, no way.
No, we're going to be everywhere. That's it.
Is that a duty that most of the officers like? Is school seen as, hey, this is cool? Or school is seen as, okay, that's where the guys, yeah, and it's not looked forward to?
You know what? I think most all of us at the office have kids, and we all understand why. So I think for most of the officers, they understand why. And, you know, we really want to keep everybody safe, and especially kids. So I don't know any officers personally that grumble about it or aren't looking forward to it. I don't mind it. It's easy. You go out there, you make an appearance, slow people down. If somebody's doing something wrong, you stop them, talk to them. Makes the parents happy, most of them. Makes the student faculty happy, the principal happy. So I think most of the officers don't mind doing it. And it doesn't take a lot of time. You're just sitting out there for 30, 40 minutes during the peak hour, and that's it.
That's what I was going to ask. I know a lot of folks will focus on the morning.
Yeah.
Afternoon.
Just as busy.
It's a little bit more diverted because of staggered
right out
times. Are you guys going to be there in the afternoons as well?
We're absolutely going to try to be there as much as possible. Again, we're going to have some extra enforcement out there, so we're not trying to take away from the safety zone or from anywhere else. I think we're going to be there as much in the afternoon as in the morning. I know I'm personally going to be out there both times.
So what do you look for? Is it speed? Is it the texting? Is it the parent reaching over the back seat?
Everything. Speed is a big one, and distracted driving of any kind. Just really anything that can be a danger to the kids or any of the motoring public, really.
Have we had any incidents in the last couple of years that you're aware of?
You know, we will get calls in from parents and from people telling us about speeders. Hey, this red vehicle speeding, and we'll focus on it. But off the top of my head, I can't recall an incident or a traffic collision that resulted from in any sort of serious injury in the last couple of years. Thank goodness, knock on wood.
School buses are a little tricky also. I saw a garbage truck this morning, had all its lights on, and
right, traffic
was backed up. It was when the fog was laid in here in Eureka. Cars didn't know whether or not to pass it or not.
The garbage truck?
The garbage truck. Because it had the red lights
and
the flashing.
Right.
Some of us are kind of trained that flashing red lights mean don't pass.
Right.
What is the rule for school buses and when you can and when you can't?
So with a school bus, if you're on a county road or a city road that is two lane, not divided, So one lane going one way, one lane going the other way, and a school bus is stopped, turns its red light and flashers on. It's got the stop sign coming out. Both directions have to stop going each way. Now, if you are on a multiple lane, so two directions going one way, two directions going another way, and there's a separator in the middle. You follow me, Brian, doing the math?
I'm following. I'm trying to think where would it be applicable in our area.
Well, we have, let's see, on Murray going toward the high school, there's two lanes.
Okay, there's you know. Four so, lanes there.
Yeah, there are things like that. Both those lanes also have to stop if there's no center divider. So if there's a center divider, like a left-hand turn lane, or the roadway is split, then the vehicles go in the same direction as the bus. They still have to stop in both lanes. The vehicles go in the other direction don't have to stop since they're separated by the left-hand turn lane or a median.
Which means that every other one will.
Right.
And everybody's going to be scratching their head going,
What's going on?
Yeah, what should we do?
Clear as mud, right?
you've heard that phrase before.
Once or twice, yeah.
Sigh in the Kitchen, the new cookbook, Clear as Mud.
That's it.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with the author of Clear as Mud, Cy May.
I'll get you an autographed copy as
soon
as I can.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and when it's a soup book, it really is kind of a little concerning.
Yeah.
During the break, Cy, we were talking about some of the different types of buses, school buses, and there are some areas where the bus is able to pull off the main drag, so they're not on the roadway, and for clarification, does that change anything as far as what the drivers are supposed to do?
If they're able to pull all the way off the roadway and there's no children that are going to be crossing the road, then they don't have to put on the red lights or the stop sign. And as long as you don't see those red lights, you don't have to stop. And the school bus drivers are well-trained. They know exactly when they're supposed to have the lights on and off, when the kids are going to be crossing the road, and they'll get out with their stop sign and stop traffic. So if you really pay attention to what the school bus is doing, whether or not those lights are on and off, you're going to be safe.
It was interesting yesterday coming down from, got up to Gold Beach yesterday, mm-hmm. driving back down. The lack of perception, but the lack of tourist traffic.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's because it was a Wednesday, you know, midweek.
Right.
Or because of the fires, or because people were just avoiding me. But it didn't seem like there was as much traffic. Are you guys seeing anything or sensing that maybe the traffic is off a little bit or it's different?
It's different. It seems like this summer's been, I guess a little bit less of tourist traffic, but we still have enough local traffic that still keeps us busy, just people commuting back and forth from work every day. But, yeah, definitely I would assume the fires are having a big impact on people coming across, obviously 299, obviously 36. There's not as many people traveling right now.
With the amount of the fire guys mm-hmm. going around, are you guys providing any escorts into those areas for the rigs so that they don't get waylaid by some of the stuff?
The fire vehicles?
Yeah, the big rigs.
They usually are pretty well escorted themselves. You know, our main focus is to do road closures where they tell us. They're the experts when it comes to the fires and where it's headed and what's going on. So they're going to say, hey, you guys need to set up at this cross right here. And we're there to help them, help the sheriff's department, and do all sorts of evacuations, anything they really need.
What about the detour
mm-hmm.
aspects of these fires? I know Caltrans has got the electronic.
Right.
And they try to do something.
Right.
But, you know, yesterday at the Gentoli Lane one, I saw
from 3 to 3.
Right.
Same standard. No reference at all about air quality or about fire or about anything other than the road construction.
Right.
Okay, now maybe they can only handle one message at a time. But I would think most people are familiar with the thought that there's fire and it's going to change things a little bit and look for the unexpected, whether it's you guys detouring or something else.
Right. You know, we get a lot of people call into our office and just say, hey, you know, I'm traveling to Reading this week. How's the road looking over 299? And we can give them a little bit of information on that. Yeah, you know, I don't know why Caltrans hasn't put anything up. They, you know, they're really busy with obviously all the construction that they got going on. But the fires are a big thing, and most people locally know about them, but people coming from out of the area.
Like the tourists.
Like yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those folks that believe GPS.
Yeah, just follow it wherever it may take you, even if it takes you around in a circle.
Well, like like 36.
Yeah.
You know, why would anyone want to be going out 36 right now just with all of the activity that's going on, particularly,
yeah.
You know, if it's unfamiliar,
right?
You know, you don't have a place out there, you don't have a specific reason,
right.
You're just getting over to I-5,
right?
Why would you consider it with the fire situation?
Like you say, if they're out of town, they're just following their GPS. That's what they're going to be doing. But luckily, I think most people are pretty aware of what's going on in the Northern California area with the drought and with the many fires that we got going on. And so a lot of people call the 1-800-GAS-ROAD, which is a good tool to utilize. It's the Caltrans directory. You call it up. You can enter the roadway which you're headed on, 299, 101. And it'll give you updates. Every 4 or 5 minutes they update it in regards to road construction delays or fire delays or road closures. So that's a good tool for people to use.
You guys use it?
You know what? I do use it.
No, I meant professionally.
Professionally? You know, usually I call my dispatch, say, hey, you know, what do we got going on? And they'll give me up-to-date stuff.
Are you guys, with the inversion layer that happens in the valley,
mm-hmm.
Is your guy out in Willow Creek, is he asking for assistance because of some of these extra demands?
You know what? Yeah, we're sending guys out there as need be. Anytime they're going to ask for assistance, we're going to send extra bodies out there. Luckily, we've been able to staff it with two officers per shift out there. And like you say, tourist traffic is a little bit down, so they're not having to deal with that. But just with regular everyday stuff that they got.
Well, I think with the air quality, you know, if they're calling 911 for help,
right?
You guys, and may, you know, particularly if the ambulance folks are already tied up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll head that way. Absolutely, yeah. 100%. We'll send a unit out there to assist our guys or the sheriff's department.
They're just the assisters.
That's us. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Help everybody.
You betcha. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Sinai.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Cy May from the Arcata office of the CHP. Got a three-day weekend, not this weekend. Relax, everybody. The following weekend, however.
You got everybody excited.
We've got the three-day weekend. This weekend, we've got the Humboldt County Fair that's also wrapping up. Do you guys just kind of run that maximum enforcement thing all the way through, or you just kind of focus a little bit? Okay, it's county fair Saturday, Sunday. Okay, it's schools Monday through Wednesday. Then we roll into the three-day weekend, and everybody just kind of up in different areas of focus for that time.
Yeah, the maximum enforcement is going to be for the holiday weekend. And, you know, we're all aware of the fair that's going on, the added traffic that's going to be down in that area, and also schools. But yeah, the maximum enforcement period is really for the holiday weekend that we're going to be out there trying to keep people safe again, slow people down.
And out of trouble.
Out of trouble. That's what we like.
How much of a bump do you guys see in tickets written over three-day weekends? Just overall, not the ones that you're targeting, but just overall.
Just overall in general. You know, probably a 25% bump, I'd imagine. And the same with DUIs, usually on a holiday weekend. You know, everybody's happy to have a couple days off, and sometimes people get a little too happy.
The root of that was if you guys had more bodies on the road, does that mean that there's 25% more that you could do?
Absolutely. If there's more people out there, there's more potential stops that we can make, more contacts, and not just giving people citations, but also we're out there more for disabled motorists as well, just to try to help the motoring public get to where they're going safely, people that are broke down, anything like that.
Boy, I saw one yesterday. It was at Last Chance Grade on the south side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy, and it was Arizona.
Yeah.
I saw the plates of the truck. Didn't get the right exit. He was coming down the hill, probably going 40, 45,
mm-hmm.
pulling probably a 22-foot, 24-foot trailer. Didn't get onto the paved exit or access mm-hmm. off. It was on the dirt and gravel. And you know, I've never seen an accident happen.
Right.
But the back, I mean, things were bouncing around. I thought, holy crap, this thing could turn sideways and come rolling at me.
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting. Or it could go the other way and over the edge.
Right.
But then he hit the tarmac and was able to kind of slow things
good.
Down because he just took the exit too early okay. instead of the paved one.
Right.
I'm wondering how often you guys run into things like that where people will either use an area as a turnout that's not appropriate, i.e. around the Elk.
Yes.
Saw that one yesterday too. Or they don't see, they don't use the road as it's designed for.
Yeah, we see it a lot. Yeah, people taking the exit too early, too late. Yeah, stopping on the freeway when, you know, you're not allowed to stop in certain areas. Just people, take your time, drive safe, try to know where you're going. And if you miss your exit, go down, turn around somewhere, come back. But we're out there to help. If people get disabled, we're going to stop for you. We're going to call you a tow truck if you need a tow truck, help you change a tire, whatever we can do to help out.
Do you guys have communication where cell phones don't?
Where cell phones don't? Oh, yeah, we do. Mm-hmm.
So if you're stranded, you can...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll stop. Hey, my cell phone doesn't work here. We'll call our dispatcher. We can get AAA coming. So, yeah, if you see one of us, flag us down. We'll be more than happy to stop and help you out.
And the center lane is not a passing lane?
The center lane is not a passing lane. Depends on where you're at.
Oh, sure. And if there's a bus in the neighborhood.
That's right.
Thanks for coming by, Si.
Thanks.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs while you'll have to see you then.